Good morning. Welcome to our morning show on WRCO and WRCE Radio. I'm Phil Nee. We're here to talk about a couple of great musical opportunities here in the community coming up this weekend. In fact, we're going to talk about the Richland Center, the Richland Area Community Choir. They're going to have a big concert coming up on Saturday, and then a joint voice recital is up on Sunday. So joining us in the studio, Liz Niemeyer and Shay Schmidt, and we say good morning. Liz, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Phil?
I'm doing great. I first of all want to compliment you because that version of the national anthem at Grace last Friday was one of the best I've heard in a long, long time.
It was nice. Those people are wonderful people.
You had a good group there.
Yeah.
How many were in the choir that night? I didn't even get a chance to see.
That is a good question. I'm going to say 12 to 15, it seemed. But it was full. I mean, it was a full group. And we prepared maybe two separate rehearsals. We spent about 5 minutes on the song. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty great.
It was just really inspiring. I thought everybody did a great job and lots of good comments from the crowd.
Yeah.
So you hit a home run there.
Well, and I think quite a few of them is very personal. So to be a part of that moment, I think for them was even more than it was for me. And then I just got to be the witness. So pretty great.
You were the director. Well, it was kind of a warm-up for your August your August tour, right?
Yeah, yes.
So you have the choir concert coming up on Saturday. And tell me a little bit about it.
So this is the second annual community choir event, and all these people are completely volunteer. There was no audition, and Pam Kintz and I threw some songs at them, not literally or physically, but they took them, and we've been running with them all summer on Tuesday nights, and we have 8 songs. In addition, Shay and Logan are going to do a beautiful duet from an opera. So we're pretty excited.
Yeah, you have a full slate. And I looked at it. There are some songs I recognize. There are some songs I can't pronounce.
Right. That's fine. That's the best of plan.
So tell me about the order of business.
Okay. So we have, it'll be Saturday starting at 4:00 in the Coppertop Theater. And we will sing God Bless America, the Wells Fargo Wagon, a couple Latin pieces that are really beautiful, and a couple spirituals that are full choir pieces, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, some difficult harmonies, and then Homeward Bound and Memory from Cats. So all enjoyable songs. None of them are going to be dry or, you know, too classical.
Nothing over our heads, then.
Right.
In other words. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So tell me about the community members that are in the chorus. People from all walks of life?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say prominent people in the community, you know, the people that really make a difference. They're all very dedicated. I think about, there's been a couple moments where I kind of ask them, you know, is this too much or am I going too fast? And they look at me like, no, this is fine. You just keep going. And those are the kind of people I think that I'm talking about where the job needs to be done and they make it happen. There's just always moving forward. And so for us to all be together doing that, it's been like, woohoo, just a fun ride.
I'm sure. And it's like being in a play cast, too, because, again, sometimes it's not people that would normally hang out together.
Oh, yeah.
But you're all getting together for one thing.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes I wonder, I'm like, have you guys hung out together? You just didn't invite me? Like, I don't know. So we mesh.
So interesting that you're working with Pam Kintz as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been fun.
She'll be helping you direct, and she's probably giving you a few pointers for the new school year, too, isn't she?
Yeah, well, it all started last summer, and she started giving me compliments, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this, you know, because she has the seniority, she has the experience, and so I've been really blessed to just be under her wing, so to speak. And yeah, as the school year approaches, I'm definitely getting nervous. Those are some big shoes to fill, but she doesn't seem nervous. She seems like really confident. So it's an interesting feeling to have.
I bet. Yeah. So it's a new challenge for you coming to Richland Center.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And you start right away with a musical, which she's going to direct, right?
Right. Oh, that'll be easy. That'll be easy. That's the fun part. Yeah. I just do the music.
It's a musical year, but yeah. I'm guessing that's one of the things that attracted you to that chance.
Oh, absolutely.
To teach you.
Yep. Absolutely. Uh-huh. That stage, the vicinity to just the choir room and, you know, getting to work with the kids every day and just really take it to the next level, so to speak. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Looking forward to it. You have a young lady here, Shay Schmidt, who has been your co-worker.
Yes.
In private. So did you have to prod her very much to get her to be in the concert and be one of the featured?
No.
No?
No. She was rather excited.
Always.
Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Great. Good to have you on today.
It's good to be here.
So tell me about the piece that you and Logan will be performing on Saturday.
Yeah. So we're going to be performing Porti Miro, which is from a Monteverdi opera, which is, I believe, from the 1500s. I'm so sorry, Logan, if I got that wrong. But the opera itself is very dramatic. There's this crazy love affair. It's about King Nero. But the piece that we're going to be singing is right after Nero and his wife, Poppaea, get married. They sing this gorgeous duet. I sang it in college, and I really wanted to do it with Logan. We just got engaged, so it's super exciting to be able to sing this with my fiance.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Thank
you. It's very exciting. So we're super excited to bring such a gorgeous piece of music to the community. I mean, it is very old and super classical, but it's just so simple, and I think everyone can appreciate it. So to be able to bring that into the new time, and it's still relevant to people is really exciting.
So where do you come across music like this? Just in your research, or have you known about it for a long time?
I sang it as part of my voice minor in college. I did study voice a little bit, not nearly as much as Liz, but I did a little bit. And so it was one that I sang with a classmate for our opera musical theater workshop, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And then Logan has his master's degree in music composition, so he has always been researching and looking into music, and so I find a lot of pieces from him. One of the recital pieces I will be singing was actually chosen by him for me. So he's just always throwing new stuff at me. I just take it as it comes.
So when you sing a piece like this, do you have to read a little bit about the backstory to kind of get into that character and that mindset?
Yes, especially since all the words are in Italian. So I'm singing in a completely different language. So looking into what is the story about? How did we get up to this scene? It's kind of like acting, really. It's just that instead of using a script, you have a piece of music. So looking into what is this character feeling in this moment? What are they trying to get across to the other person that they're singing with? Looking into all of that and then bringing it into the music with your volume or the way that you're looking at each other or interacting with the audience. So it's very, very much like acting. It's very performative and a lot of research goes into it.
Do you speak other languages?
Je parle un peu de français. That was my first major in college. It was French. I've lost most of it, to be completely honest. But I took a lot of classes on voice and how different languages and even just different accents within a language get pronounced. So I can sing in just about anything. Do I know what it means? Absolutely not.
Because I've heard that about, you know, English acts touring in European countries, and they look out and the crowd is singing along with them. They're singing in English, although they mightn't be able to speak. So it's kind of the same thing for you.
Yeah, you can just kind of repeat the sounds. And then part of the research is making sure you know what each word means, so you're not accidentally putting emphasis on something like the. That would be kind of awkward. Usually the music can cue you in onto what are the important words, but just making sure you know what it all means. So Google Translate has been my best friend as I do this, but yeah.
I'm guessing Google Translate helps you to know what you're singing to kind of, you know, react or kind of put the emphasis on where you need to be.
Yeah, acting with each other, making sure that the volume makes sense, that the way you're interacting with the audience makes sense. It is super helpful.
Indeed. So you and Logan are going to make beautiful music.
I hope so. That's the goal.
Not only this weekend, but down the road.
But down the road, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't imagine what type of music you're going to listen to in your household. I'm guessing all kinds.
Everything.
Yeah?
Everything. It's something different every day. We listen to jazz, musical theater, classical, rock, all of it. It all has a place in our home, so
Yeah, amazing. So whose plan was it to do two concerts in one weekend, Liz? Did that just happen
way? Or? I don't know. I think here's what happened. We sang, I wanted to do the flower duet, and we did that last summer for the community choir concert. Shay and I did. And it was like, so fulfilling. And I've always loved singing opera. It's just, that's my hope for all of my students, is that they find that thing that just makes them feel like amazing, that they're just so good at it, or that it just fills them with joy. That's singing opera for me. Doesn't really have a place in my life these days, but we sang the flower duet last summer, and I just said to Shay, hey, do you want to do a recital with me? And she just about jumped out of her skin, because COVID happened while she was going to be finishing her degree. So as a music minor, you should be able to do, you need to do a joint recital, but COVID changed the rules. So we are doing it now. And it just was my kind of, I don't know, challenge to myself to sing some of these songs that I had heard since graduating, which my last recital was over 10 years ago, so that's sad. But anyway, I had this list of songs I wanted to do, and I kind of thought to myself that I couldn't do them anymore. Having children, not, you know, singing really high, those kinds of things can take your level down. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to see if I can get my level back up. And so this was like me putting a date out there. I'm going to be ready for this, you know, at the end of the summer. And then the job came along, and the community choir, of course, was something we needed to do again. And so I didn't mean to, but I meant to. Does that make sense?
Sure, I guess so.
I had to.
So not to confuse the two, but you have the community choir concert on Saturday.
Yes.
And what time is that again?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. And then you and Shay are together, and that's at 2:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the locations?
All right. So this is where everybody needs to pay attention. Okay. The choir concert is at Copper Top Theater, just like last year. Mm-hmm. We just bumped up the time to 4. Our recital was going to be at the Copper Top, but we changed it to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, just past the intermediate school on 80. And the reasoning for it's a little more of an intimate place, and it's got a really nice piano, and it has the live stream already set up so that we can kind of just we'll have that recording that we want. So hopefully that makes sense. Seventh-day Adventist on Sunday.
Okay. Singing in a church, Shay, the acoustics, I'm guessing there's an advantage there too, isn't it?
Yes, they're fantastic. Logan and I went to practice our duet with Dr. Dale Sennett, who is accompanying us for that and then accompanying Liz for her pieces. And he asked, do you want to practice in the church? Because it was really close by. So we went in, and the sound, as a performer, you can hear yourself bouncing back to you. So you get a way better sense of how you're sounding to the audience. And then everything just reverberates in the room. So it kind of is almost this full body experience where you can really feel the sound coming at you. And especially when you're only performing as an individual or with one other person, being able to get that across to an audience in a smaller space is really important. So having the smaller space is really helpful as a performer. And then being able to live stream it for people who maybe can't come or want to watch it again later, having that opportunity was really important to us as well. So it's kind of the perfect space that worked out.
As an audience member, you know, you have a goosebump moment sometimes.
Yes.
As a performer, sometimes do you have that when things are just right and the pitch is just right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily say that it's goosebumps, but it's very confidence boosting. You're like, oh, that was exactly the sound that I wanted to get across. It's very exciting. I had a couple of them last night, and I was like, oh, the choice was good. We should have moved. So it was very exciting.
So do you and Logan coach one another? You know, he was like, hey, Logan, you're a little flat on that one. Or,
well, see, I never get to tell him that he's flat because he has perfect pitch. So he coaches me a lot. But we do a lot of stuff together. I will tell him about the text, especially foreign language text. I'll be like, well, this word technically translates to this, but if you want to really interpret it, you could say it translates to this. And he's like, Shay, you were totally flat on that note. You need to fix it. So we do work together really well. We're able to kind of help each other out in different ways, which helps us both grow as performers.
Indeed. You know, singing just you know, every night as an entertainer, like whatever kind of music, that's a challenge. But singing opera, that's got to be hard. I mean, could you do it every night if you had to?
No, I don't think I could. I mean, if I really had trained consistently up to this point, probably. But just like Liz, this summer has been a way for me to get back into the shape that I was in college. And when I first started in June after the school year was done, I was like, how did I do this every day? And I would practice in the morning in college. I would actually practice from 6:30 to 8 in the morning. And I was like, what was I doing? I was like, what was these choices that I was making? So now, probably not, but I think if I were to keep up the work that I've been doing this summer consistently, I probably, because when you're doing vocal work in a healthy manner, it's really not too much different than talking. I mean, it's the same musculature, and as long as you're using it in a healthy manner, it really doesn't affect you too much at all.
Typically, when you sing in the morning, though, it's a little harder to hit the high notes, isn't it?
I actually find it the opposite.
Really?
Probably because I'm a very high natural soprano. And so, like, I haven't really worn my voice out. I've noticed that if I practice in the morning, I am really working fresh, but at the end of the day, I give tours at Taliesin, so I talk for 4 hours a day. And then if I have to come home and hit a C6, I'm like, wow, I was talking today. I can really feel it. And it's not that it hurts or anything, but it's definitely, it's harder to do. You're putting more effort into it. So I experience the opposite, but other people might not have that experience.
Sure. And as a coach of singers, Liz, that's one thing. I think if you stop for 10 years and all of a sudden you try to start up, you probably have to kind of, it's like an athlete. You got to condition again, don't you?
Well, the biggest thing is the styles that you choose. When COVID hit, I had, you know, I'd been doing elementary music and choir music for, you know, 4 or 5 years at that point, and very different from opera, from classical singing. And I also, it was COVID, so I'm like, well, nobody needs me to sing anything anytime soon, so I'm going to train myself to do contemporary music. So I was like working on my belt and, you know, more pop styles, because I knew that's what my students wanted to work on. And that wore my voice out so bad. And I'm better now. It took me a couple of years. But going back into classical music, I was shocked at how easy I got back into shape. It helps not being pregnant, because the last couple of times I've tried to do songs, I was pregnant. So just FYI, if anybody's...
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah. In all things getting back in shape, pregnancy does not help. But you don't, you know, you get a baby. So having this time to dedicate to just myself, it's almost been a little bit selfish, but so fulfilling. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
How many songs do you two sing together then on Sunday?
Just the one.
Just the one.
We finish out our concert with a duet, a Mozart duet. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a goofy little cute thing. If you didn't know what it was about, you could just glory in the beautiful ease of it. But, you know, the story is a little typical Mozart.
Interesting. So how do you pick the part? Who, you know, what?
Oh,
what
I have it? I have the lower.
You have the lower?
Timbre is, you know, it's, I've been called a mezzo soprano, a soprano, and all the things in between. But my voice just kind of settles a little more. Hers floats. It's really woo, like a bird.
I'm sure it does. Is that something you've always had, Shay?
Yes. I, for a long time, I couldn't sing low at all. I've developed that a lot as I've gotten older. That really helps, actually, just kind of deepen your voice a little bit. But I've always had a really naturally high voice. Kind of unexpected, because I feel like my speaking voice is really low, and then I sing and it's way up here. So yeah, and it was a difficult growing up a lot, because I wouldn't always get the pieces that I wanted to work on my range. And then I went to college and I minored in voice, and then all of a sudden there's like world opened up to me of things I could do to grow that part of my voice up there. So it is natural, but a lot of it has been work to really expand my range up at the top.
Can you crack glass?
I cannot.
No.
No. I'm afraid I'm going to someday.
That's
but
an old
no.
wives' tale then. That you can it happen?
It's possible. I mean, and it's not necessarily the note it's a mixture of the note that you sing and the volume that you sing it at, and it'll be different for every piece of glass based on its physical structure. You have to actually like break the molecules apart, so it's different for every piece of glass.
It's all about resonance.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If the resonance matches, then yeah, it's possible.
It could.
But that pretty was, rare.
For Shay, that was the middle school science teacher talking right there.
It was. Yeah. That really good was. Job. It just
that
popped
was
out.
Very good. I was impressed.
That sounded good. You're getting ready for the school year at Ithaca.
Thank
then,
you. So. I am. I'm trying my best.
So you got this concert this weekend, and then do you have anything else coming up? Any other plans to put something together this year?
This year? Oh,
this year?
Give me
oh,
a break.
Gosh. I'm
it's kind of a summer thing. It's your summer vacation then.
Yeah, really, when the students come, you have to switch gears and focus in on them. Yeah.
Yeah,
this feels selfish. That's probably where that's coming from. You know, the majority of the year is focused in on others, which is good. I don't want it any other way, but just taking a few months to be like, all right, my turn. Everybody quiet.
Taking time. So when you're teaching, you probably have some students that just come in and amaze you. They just have this natural talent. And you've got to, you know, but you probably get even more joy from somebody that comes in that says, well, I can't sing. And by the end of the year, they're leading the choir.
Oh, I love that. Is one of my favorite things. But I wanted to say this. When you talk about high schoolers and just what they are capable of, they're not fully grown. I mean, they might act like it, but you know, to be able to set them up so that when they get to their 20s, they can continue to really grow. Like, that's always my goal, is to just to help them find a love of learning and growing themselves. Because then you have a Shay, where of course she was easy to teach. that was absolute cake. But I was just like cheerleader. But she then had that love and took her voice to the next level when her body was ready.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably like my main goal. I love to see people succeed, and oh, it is so rewarding. But to just connect with them and be like, this is good for you. Like, keep doing it. And then they grab onto that.
There are a lot of pop singers that started out or have choir or even opera in the background too, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the one that always comes to mind, Pat Benatar.
I was going to say.
I love her voice, and I always really liked listening to her because she was doing rock with a voice that's like mine. And so I looked it up, and she actually studied opera as a lyrical coloratura soprano, which is probably the closest title that can be associated with my voice, which is like, I guess, the highest voice type. And just to hear that and be like, she is a rock star, like, legitimately is out here singing classical rock, just blew my mind from a young age. And I was like, I really can do whatever I want with my voice. And I, like, you know, when you're young and you're only singing choir music, you kind of get this association that certain voice types do certain things, and to hear about that flexibility. And then I worked with Liz as a student too. And so just to like have someone be like, yes, do it. Here's a whole bunch of pieces. I'm actually going to be singing for the recital a piece that Liz gave to me my senior year, like 7 years ago. I've been working on this piece forever. And it's so exciting to like be able to see, where did I start with that piece 7 years ago and where is it now? And the performances I've done with it in between, it's just really cool to be able to bring it to an audience after years and different performances and different techniques. It's like super awesome.
Yeah, we look forward to it on Sunday at 2:30. So maybe you could go over the program a little bit. Tell us about the songs that you'll be performing.
Okay, so we're talking about the recital.
On Sunday, yes.
Okay. On Sunday, if you come, which you should, to the Seventh Adventist Day Church in Richland Center, Shay and I are going to take turns singing pieces. And there are like three or four musical theater selections. Really fun songs, really beautiful songs. And then there are several arias. That's like the big songs from operas, from Verdi to Donizetti and Mozart, of course. Monteverdi, yes, forgot about him. Let's see. Shay singing a lot of French. But
so much
that
French.
Makes sense because I made myself do one, but I don't really like French. So we've got one German piece, a couple Italian pieces, and I picked really dramatic songs. I know that's shocking, but they're pretty intense. I picked like one calm song from West Side Story. But otherwise,
Somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, it's the best song. But these are all entertaining songs. Like, hands down. I'm not just saying that. They are all, like, I would sit and listen to them. Obviously, I have. But when you think about classical music, some people think it's really dry, and you will not be able to go to sleep at all, okay? You'll leave wanting to sing something yourself. I know, because my children do it all the time.
No kidding. Well, with foreign language singing, too, do you have to figure, you have to learn the melody first and then go back and phonetically, like a language you don't know, Shay?
Especially because their syllables don't always line up with notes the way that we do in English. A lot of times, one syllable gets one note in English or more. There are pieces where we have two syllables stuck onto one note, and so you have to fit like this huge word into maybe like two notes. And so it's really interesting to like, you feel like you're cramming it in. So if you know the melody, then it's a lot easier to kind of almost flub your way through the words. Yes. It's like, oh, I'm going to smash these two together. We'll just delete that sound. And there are markings in the music sometimes that will help you. They'll actually get rid of a sound. There'll be an apostrophe there, or there'll be a line under them, and you kind of smush the two words together into one. Like, the best example of that is here in Wisconsin. Instead of did you eat yet, we say jeet yet. They'll actually do things like that in music. As fun as it is, they'll do things like that, and they'll actually smush different words together. But it definitely helps. If you learn the notes first, then you can kind of flub around with the words and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Most people don't speak French, so you could fool them, probably.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, they don't know what we're supposed to be singing.
No.
You're not going to know if I'm right or not. So.
Not at the concerts, anyway. Yeah. And I've tried to learn a few words being in France a few years ago, and it was tough for me just to say them.
Yeah.
Sing them would be another thing. So I applaud you. It's going to be an amazing show on Sunday. Anything else you'd like to add about Saturday and the community choir performance, Liz?
Oh, yes. Okay, so the time is 4 o'clock at the Coppertop Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, we'll have, because you know it'll be about dinner time, we're going to have kind of little sandwiches and time for people to sit and just eat and socialize, enjoy community together. Mm-hmm. So that will be, again, at the Coppertop Theater, and that's the Wallace Student Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
nice to have something going on at the campus, right?
Yeah, have something going on at the campus, and at a time where you don't feel rushed to get home or, you know, go out to eat yourselves, you can just stay and enjoy company.
I noticed that Andy's name is in the ensemble there.
Yes.
And so you both work with your men on these ventures.
Yep. I didn't make him, but I strongly suggested that he should participate.
Did he have to try out? Did he have to audition?
No.
No, okay.
No, and he's really, it's funny because the first year I was like, I really need you to do this. I don't know what numbers we're going to have. And this year though, he didn't even question it. He was just a part of it, and he's sometimes singing the songs at home, which is hysterical. I feel sorry for him. I do, because then he'll sing the words wrong, and I have to correct him. Like, I have to correct him.
Wow.
It's been, yeah.
You're coaching him at home, too.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
So, but then he does it wrong on purpose, because he knows that that'll get me going. So, it's fine.
Yeah. Works both ways. So that's 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Coppertop. Then we go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Sunday at 2:30. Mm-hmm. Shay, I know you're hoping a lot of folks will show up for that as well.
Absolutely. And if you can't show up, our live stream link, if you go on YouTube and you just search Richland Center Seventh-day Adventist Church, they have their live stream right there on YouTube. So you can watch it during, if you aren't able to come out, or if you want to listen to it during work. Absolutely. Or if you just want to look at it later, underneath their YouTube profile, there's a section called Live. And so that's where all their live streams are. And so that will be available for you too. So if you can't come out in person, watch us online. We'll get some recording up there, which is pretty cool. But if you can come out in person, absolutely. It's just, there's nothing like live music. It's just so fulfilling in so many ways, audience or performer.
Absolutely. It's been a delight to have you two ladies in today. I like the energy in the room.
Thank you. We're excited.
Liz Niemeyer joining us, and then Shay Schmidt as well. Join them this weekend. They're a part of the Richland Chorus, I Sing, their second annual concert, Saturday at 4 at the Coppertop, and again, the Seventh-day Adventist Church on 2:30 for Shay Austin Schmidt and Elizabeth Niemeyer. Dr. Dale Sennett, Logan Willis will be there as well, and it's going to be a great show. Some awesome entertainment for our weekend in Southwest Wisconsin. We'll have more on The Morning Show coming up.